Rishus Marina Rav Shlisa. Not very long ago, I came across something written by Rav a couple of hundred years ago, which seemed to conflict with modern scientific thinking. And somebody who I know is an expert on these subjects, I approached him and I asked him what he thought about it. And he said, "How dare you ask such a question? A Heimish boy like you, a Heimish boy like you doesn't ask such questions. You just have to believe." And I was really taken aback about this. Absolutely taken aback about this. It's the Christian faith which says you just believe and you don't ask questions. We have the right to ask questions. What came to my mind was a Gemara in Shabbos in the very last Perek, Kuf Nun Gimel, Amud Beis, which talks about when it's getting dark on Friday evening and you're not back in time for Shabbos, what do you do with something you're carrying in your pocket? And the Gemara looks at the various answers and then says, yes, well, you could perhaps walk less than Daladamas at a time. And then the Gemara says, why didn't the Chachomim give us this answer? Why didn't they tell us this answer? And at that point, the Gemara quotes Mishlei. There's a pasuk in Mishlei which says, Kavod Elokim Haster Dovor. The honor of Hashem is hidden. We don't understand Hashem and his ways. The Kavod Melochim Chakar Dovor. But the honor of the kings, namely the rabbis, Chakar Dovor. Think about it. Ask about it. That doesn't mean that you reject the rabbis if you don't understand them or you don't. It means you have the right to question it and go into Chakiras, because they did have reasons for what they said. And not only did they have an explicit reason which they gave you, but they also had a dozen other reasons which they did not give you. So it's perfectly legitimate to question. But in doing so, we have to maintain a degree of humility and respect. Because we have to remember that there's another Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yudeis, where Rabbi Zeira says, B'nei Malochim Onu B'nei Anoshim. If we regard the original rabbis as Malochim, as angels, then we have the right to regard ourselves as men, as human beings. But if we regard them like Anoshim, if we regard the earliest rabbis like ordinary human beings, Anachnu Kechamarim. Onu Kechamarim, we are like donkeys. To understand the greatness of Chazal in their knowledge and in their Yiras Hashem and in their divine inspiration and in their Ruach HaKodesh, it would be foolish of us just to regard them like ordinary human beings. And when the Gemara says we would then be like chamorim, like donkeys, the Gemara even says there with a touch of a sense of humor, Veloka chamosha Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Veloka shel Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoya. These were the donkeys which wouldn't touch tevel if the food wasn't nice. They kept the halachas, these donkeys. They were real fearers of heaven. We're not talking about those sorts of donkeys. We're talking about ordinary donkeys that we would be like. And it's with that idea in mind that we can approach such a subject without questions. We will start then with a kuzari of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the second chapter, paragraph 64, where he goes into the depths of how Chazal was so well versed in the sciences. They had to be well versed in the sciences because they had so many halachas to determine. They had the halachas to determine about agriculture with kilayim, the mixed species. They had to determine mathematics, like they did on Shabbos Daf Ches and Sukkah Daf Ches, because of the measurements, say, of around Sukkah or around Rosh Hashanah. They had to know about Terephus, biology. If a Kohen had a mum, a blemish which disqualified him from the temple, they had to know about astronomy for purposes of Kiddush HaChodesh, for sanctifying the new moon. They made it their duty to become like scientists. That doesn't mean they had laboratories and they had test tubes and they had microscopes, but Chazal made it their job to find out what was going on in the outside world. And we know from various aspects of Medrash and Gemara how well versed they were in the sciences. Indeed, while people were saying that the world was flat, they were saying in the Gemara Yerushalmi Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel that the world is shaped like a globe, like a ball, and Midrash Rabbah says the same thing in Bereishis Rabbah 13, part 14, Rabbi Chananel, Tosfos HaVeirah Zohar, Mem Aleph, And the Zohar in Vayikra says that the entire earth rotates in a circle like a board. And this was all before the time of Copernicus, who came along afterwards of saying the world is round and so on. There's the Gemara which talks about the number of stars. It used to be believed that there's only a few hundred or a few thousand stars, and if you look in the Gemara Brocha stuff, it gives a figure. If you work out the way it's described, it comes to an astronomical figure which approximates to 1064340 followed by 12 noughts after it. And in Gemara Harayos it talks about a comet which seems to be Halley's Comet, Harayos Daf Yud. And on simple little things like the subject of chometz, when flour turns into chometz, and Chazal discussed the five kinds of grain, how did they know that leavening takes place more with those five kinds of grain than others, apart from their observation? The five kinds of grain have a higher gluten content than other foods. There are enzymes in the flour which break down starch to glucose and alcohol, liberating certain gases. And these gases are trapped in the gluten, resulting in a spongy dough, which we call leavening. So why is it that Chazal said that if you're kneading the dough all day long, it will not become chometz? And if you just leave it for 18 minutes, it will become chometz. Because when you're constantly kneading the dough, you are destroying those gas bubbles which form in the gluten which make the leaven. So they could understand the chemical reactions which take place in the dough. And so on and so forth. The examples are numerous. So the question is this. When Chazal said these matters of science, did they receive these things solely from the Torah from Har Sinai, handed down by tradition from one generation to the next, and through their divine inspiration they were saying these things, and therefore they couldn't possibly make mistakes? Or do we say no, that they did glean certain things from non-Jewish sources without having their own chemistry laboratories, and as a result of that, by relying on people such as Aristotle, they may well have made mistakes and no embarrassment to them? Okay, they were relying on what was said in their age, and as a result they might have said things which were not correct, and maybe that would have changed things if time progressed. That's basically the question. Perhaps the most famous question of all is the one of the fossils. You know, scientists nowadays, they find fossils which are thousands, they say millions of years old with carbon dating. And this has been a controversial subject in the last couple of years. There was a certain book published which a number of rabbonim actually told people not to read. What is the issue about fossils? Hashem created the world in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. And there are those who wish to say, and I remember years ago Rabbi Munk and Dr. Schoenfeld, Zichronam Livracha, saying these things, that it says 6 days, but the sun wasn't created till the fourth day, so therefore the days in Bereshit might not have been 24 hours. They might have been periods of time. And so the Mice of Bereshit maybe took place in longer. But most reject this idea, and they say you should believe that the world was created in 6 days. Rav Shimon Schwab wrote about this. He was the Rav of the Yekkers in New York. And he said, because the Torah wants to stress the observance of the seventh day as Shabbos, we should accept the idea of the 6 days literally. And there are a number of Rabbonim who quote the Tiferes Yisrael, who wrote a kuntras called Arachayim, which is found in the Ayin Aleph Rosh HaMishnayis in the end of Sanhedrin. And there the Tiferes Yisrael says we have to appreciate what Chazal tell us, that there were worlds before this one, that there, Hashem would be creating seven worlds and we are the fourth out of the seven, and that the fossils which they found, and he quotes from Siberia in 1807, there was a monstrous type of elephant which is 3 or 4 times larger than what we see today, and he gives actual dimensions of creatures that they found which might even match dinosaurs, and he says Morabu Masecho Hashem, how great are your works Hashem, and he's saying this reinforces what Chazal said in the Medrash and places, that there were worlds before this one, and what we find are remnants from those worlds. And even if we do not go along with the Tiferes Yisrael, even if, because there are those who decline to follow the view of the Tiferes Yisrael, there is a very simple bottom line on the fossils, and that is, when Hashem created the world, he created it with age. He created a man, not a baby. He created a tree, not a sapling. So as part and parcel of the Brios Olam, Hashem created age. I remember once a teacher of mine in Hasmonean, who was not Jewish, who taught sciences, and I asked him about what was called then the vestigial organs, which the evolutionists were claiming were the appendix or the tonsils, which don't have an apparent use. And since then they've been finding purposes like the tonsils fight bacteria and so on. These things do have a purpose, but because scientists didn't have the knowledge and they only had the ignorance, they said, oh, they don't have a purpose, they're leftovers. So we have to approach these things with great caution, with Yiras Shemayim, and to understand that when Hashem created something, He did it for a purpose. Look at your first handout, and you've got in front of you Mishnayos Chulin, Perek Tes, Mishnah Vov, and we're going to come to a curious subject which has baffled a lot of people because of its apparent contradiction to modern science. And if you look at the fourth last line inside Mishnah Vov, the beginning of the fourth last line on that page, Achbor, a mouse. Achbor shechetzio bosa vechetzio adoma, a mouse which is half earth and half flesh and half earth. Hanogea bebosa tome, if you touch the earth part, you are tome. You can't perform temple service. Ba'adomo, but if you touch the earthly part, tohar. Rabbi Yehuda argues, he says, afanagia ba'adomo, shekneged ha'bosot tomei. But we don't go like Rabbi Yehuda. So what's going on here? What is this animal, this mouse? So if you look in the Ba'atanura, second wide line, achbar shechetzi ha'bosot, he says, yesh min achbar, there is a certain kind of mouse, she'ena paravarovo. It doesn't multiply itself sexually. Poravarova means by having a male and female. Elo me'atzma notzim in adoma, but it just comes out from the ground. Kashba, like dirt. Amisharetzis toloim, where you might get certain insects which come out from dirt. People believed for hundreds of years that maggots just come out from dirt or from meat, and that's what's going on here. So the imadaina nishmala briyas achva, so if its creation has not yet been complete, except for one side, and of its echod, so if you touch that part which is formed, then you're tome. What is it saying? It comes out by itself. The problem with this is that Louis Pasteur came along a couple of hundred years ago and said living cells can only come from living cells. It's not true that animals or insects come out from nothing. The maggots which come out from the cereals or from the meat, they did tests. If you put wire over things, they did tests. A fly laid eggs, and it's from the eggs of the fly which came about and produced these maggots. But you couldn't see these eggs. The eggs of these kinim were so small that you couldn't see them. Let's have a look for a moment in the Tiferes Yisroel, down the page, but in the left-hand side, where you see the smaller print, the Boaz. And he talks about this strange creature, this half-mouse, about two-thirds of the way down, the last words of the line, Va'ani Shomati. Have we got that? Va'ani Shomati Abikrosim Melaglegin Al-Briozu. The people who scoff at us, the Abikrosim, they laugh at us. They say such a thing can't exist. Al-Briozu Shilis Keres Kam, and he quotes in Utsav Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Aleph, U'machishim Va'omim She'enu B'metzios Kalal. They say there's no such thing. Indeed, the Rambam says he never saw such a thing. I would therefore like to quote here Marsha Kosa the Sefer Ashkenazi in a German Sefer, which was written by a non-Jewish scientist who is very famous, Ushmo Link. His name is Link, the Sefer Hanikra Urvelt. He wrote this book called The Light of the World, Chelik Aleph, Omud 327, Shenimtza Briok Zos, the Eretz Mitzrayim, he found a certain creature in the land of Egypt, B'machos Tabis, or whatever it is, V'nikre So'achba, he B'loshim Mitzrayim, and in the Egyptian language they called this mouse Difus Yakulus, or B'loshim Ashkelaz, and in the German language it's called Springmois. Asher ha-chelek shalafanei ha-rosh v'chozev yodeh ha-mesorim yofeh, where parts of it, the head and the hands, etc., and its main body are created beautifully, v'achareo, but its rear adain megulamim v'regvei ha-eretz, and it's not yet fully complete, ad achar eza yomim, until a number of days, tisafeh kula l'bosar, it all becomes flesh, v'omer morabu ma'asecho Hashem. How great are your works, Hashem. So, the Tiferes Yisrael seems to be quoting him, Morabu Ma'asecho Hashem. Notwithstanding the Tiferes Yisrael, I have seen writings which say, well, Link didn't get it right. Professor Link, whoever he was, didn't get it right, and there is no such creature, there is such an opinion. Alright, okay. We have to maintain, as I said, our humility and our Yiras Shamayim to see what he's written and understand what he's written and respect what he's written. And if we accept the Yochin of Oz or not, the question does remain,
what about the fact that living cells can only come from living cells?
Now, the problem with science and religion is that science changes every few years. One newspaper says it's good for you to eat this, and a few months later it says it's not good to eat this, and it's not good to eat that, and so on, and they keep changing their minds. And scientific theories keep changing their minds. Yiddishkeit is permanent. We're interested in Avodas Hashem. It's a different direction we're coming from. Science wants to search and find out facts, but every so often they keep changing. However, the intellectual will say, yes, that's all very well, but, you know, it's 200 years now.
We've got this long established fact that living cells can only come from living cells.
Let's turn over the page, and I'm going to quote a bit from Moreh Nevuchim from the Rambam. In fact, it was the Rambam who said, I never saw a mouse like this, even though he brings down this halacha about it. And I would like to go to the sixth line of the Rambam.
He did.
Moreh Nevuchim, Chelek Shlishi, Perek Yud Dalet. And the Rambam says, "V'lo tzavakesh mimeni." Don't actually ask from me. Sheyaskim kol mashe zachru. That one might agree with everything that was said. And here he's talking about astronomy, meaning atachuna, l'mashe inyan nimtza, to what we find actually nowadays. Ki achochmos halimudios hoyu bizmanim haim chaseros, because the academic knowledge which they had, which were being quoted from the non-Jewish sources, were lacking. And when the Rabbonim were talking to us about scientific facts, they were not having it from tradition from Har Sinai. They were quoting from their non-Jewish counterparts. It was not from the Nevi'im. And as a result of that, there were certain chaseros, there were certain things lacking. Abul Nashem, Chochme Adaris, Binyonim Ahim. They were quoting from the scholars of their generation. O Masheh, Shomu, Mechochme Adaris Ahim. That's things that they heard from the Chochme Adaris. And so they learned from them, and they, look, the Chachomim, they didn't have science laboratories. They had Bati Midrashim, and they were sitting in the Beis HaMedrash. And one Rav would come in one day and say, I heard that the scientists of nowadays are talking about this mouse, which is half earth and half flesh. Let's discuss it. Okay, what would be the din? If such a thing exists, what's the halacha? And if there is such a thing, this is what the halacha is. And that is the approach that they took. And so the Rambam is saying it's not a bikursus to think along those lines. That is the way, and in fact, Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam is quoted as saying something similar. He says in the Marma Odus Droshes Chazal, although Chazal were very, very great, we don't always need to defend them, to uphold their opinion in their statements on medicine, on science, and on astronomy. But nevertheless, we accept the posuk al pi haTorah sheyerucha. We follow what they taught us to do. We will follow them what they do. Similarly, in the Otzar Hagaonim Gitin Samaches, Rav Sharia Gaon says that on medical matters, our rabbonim were not doctors. They quoted, they said there are many remedies throughout Shas which they said could be used to heal illnesses. We don't rely on those nowadays, and there's a Tosfos in Moed Kotten Yud Aleph which says this. We don't rely on what they said on medical remedies. Why? Nishtane HaTeva. We are different nowadays in the way our bodies react, in the climates that we're in, and it's a different kind of situation. So if you're going to say Nishtani HaTeva, that our bodies changed, you might still say that the science they received was by tradition, was by divine inspiration. And nowadays Nishtani HaTeva. But if we're going to say that they learnt it from non-Jewish scholars of their generation, then according to the Rambam and his son, it's not because this is to say we don't need to justify what they said and we don't need to defend them. And it's very interesting because the Sefer Pachad Yitzchok wrote 250 years ago, he says, I've now heard from the scientists that they've disproved that these lice, which are so small, we thought they come out from the dirt, they are coming from eggs, live eggs. And why did he write this? Because the Gemara in Shabbos talks about these lice, which are Eino Paravarova. Eino Paravarova, they come out of nothing. These maggots or lice, they just from dirt, from sweat. And if they come out from nothing, then since they're not para varova, they don't sexually multiply, then you can kill them on Shabbos. There's no din of hariga on Shabbos with them, because the din of killing on Shabbos is when it's normal creatures. These are not normal creatures. Therefore you can kill them on Shabbos. Comes along the Pachad Yitzchok and says, hold on a minute, now that scientists have discovered that these animals or these insects don't come from dirt, we should not kill them on Shabbos. And he wrote this letter to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Briel, and his Rebbe said no. We were handed down a tradition from Chazal, established as law, that you can kill such kinim on Shabbos, you can't see that. Therefore we don't change the law. It's not for us to change the law, otherwise you get a reform coming along, and they say every law can change. So what's going on here? These insects, they were naked to the human eye. Only with microscopes afterwards these things could be discovered, that they were tiny beitzei kinim, that they were little eggs which were developed into these insects. But they couldn't see them. And there is a halacha indeed that you're not responsible for what the human eye doesn't see. Let's look at the next handout. This is a quote from the Aruch HaShulchan Hilchos Toloim. We go into paragraph number 12. There are those who say in the name of the scientists, when you look into a magnifying glass or a microscope, shikarin spaktivia, whatever it is in his language, you will see many insects which you wouldn't otherwise see. You don't have to worry about it, because Omnon Shemati Shabakol Mine Mayim, I heard that in all kinds of water, and even in rainwater, Mole Beruim Dakim, there are many of these tiny, tiny creatures, She'ein Ha'ai Nichol L'Lirosom, the eye cannot see them. Uviyaldusi Shemati, and in my childhood I heard, Bipi Echot Shehoi B'Merchakim, Rob Derech Zuchukis HaMagadeles Ad Ma'od, an enormous kind of microscope, he's seen tens of thousands of creatures in water which we would not otherwise see. Well, if he's Eichon Shosimayim, how can we ever drink water? These creatures are there the whole time. Omnom ba'emesu, the truth is, the Torah doesn't forbid such things because the eye doesn't see it. The Torah wasn't given for angels, it was given to humans. Even the air that you breathe when you walk in the street, you are breathing in creatures. They are so tiny. And when a person opens his mouth just to speak, he's swallowing them. Don't worry, it's a nonsense. Since the eye can't see them, love kolumhi. What you can see, even though it's very tiny, it's no problem. And this is brought down the halacha because the Shevet Halevi actually brings this inyan on the subject of a very, very tiny speck on fruit which doesn't appear to be like an insect. You can still eat that fruit. Obviously one has to take as much care as one can. So how do we deal with this? We've got here one explanation to deal with the insects, that this was something which they just couldn't see, and we can't see with the ordinary human eye. So it was assumed that there was some explanation given to it, and the explanation given to it which people would understand would be Eino Para Varovo. I think there may be another dimension to this phrase Eino Para Varovo, because when the Gemara says Eino Para Varovo, it means does not sexually multiply with a male and female. And there was an article in the papers just about 3 or 4 months ago that they discovered a certain creature, a kind of lizard, which does not need a male to reproduce. The female itself lays eggs, and from those eggs come further kinds of lizards. And I looked into this and I found that there is a whole subject called parthenogenesis, and that there are creatures which are called parthenogenic. There are water fleas, aphids, some kinds of bees and wasps, certain kinds of reptiles such as rock lizards. There's the Prumixico whiptail and the Komodo dragon, where the female can lay an egg without assistance from the male, and reproducing these creatures. They might not live very long, or they might only reproduce females or something like that, but they reproduce without the male. So in the literal translation of the Gemara, that's Eino Para Varovo, you might say, because it's not multiplying in the normal way, male and female. That's not to say you can kill these things on Shabbos. You may not kill them, but it might give an added dimension to explain what's going on. So we've discussed the practical halach of the Shevet HaLevi, is Chelek Zayin, Yeridea 121. But what about, there's another, Mishnah in Bechoros. The Mishnah in Bechoros says, if you buy an animal from a Gentile, like a cow or a donkey, and it's just turned 3 years old, so the Mishnah in Bechoros, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph says, you don't have to assume that it had given birth earlier, because we're worried about if there was a Bechor and there's a din of Petach Hamar. So if it gives birth at the age of three, that offspring belongs to the Kohen. Gemara Vedazara Daf Kaf Dalad Amud Beis. So the Tosas say it's because before the age of three, it hasn't given birth. So Tosas say this is astonishing. We have seen animals at the age of 2 years old which have given birth. So Tosas there say times have changed from earlier generations. There are now animals. And we've already spoken about the medical remedies, that nature has changed. With the medical remedies, you could also say they were segulas, they were not medical. Well, something which is mystical. And there's an interesting shaila brought down in the Tashbats. You don't have it in front of you, but the shaila Tashbats, Chelek Aleph Kuf Aleph, talks about Reuven, who was away from town on business for many months. He came back home for one night, and then he went away again for about 5.5 months. And when he came back, his wife was giving birth. So they asked the question, is this baby really from her husband? Is it possible? And this baby which gave birth, it actually lived for about 12 hours and it cried a little bit, and then it died. But after only 5.5 months, and in this tshuva he also talks about the Chazal, which says that an 8-month-old baby does not survive, 8 months of pregnancy. And a baby can live when it's 7 months, and a baby can live when it's 9 months, when it's 9 full months. So the question is then, if the baby can't survive, or will not survive, can you break Shabbos to save its life? What's the din? The halacha on the 8-month baby nowadays is that one definitely breaks Shabbos to save its life. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Hei talks about this baby, Yevamah Staf Pei Dov talks about this baby, but the Shevet HaLevi brings down, he says, nowadays we have incubators. Nowadays we manage to make sure that premature babies who are not fully formed manage to develop properly. And the Chazon Ish writes on this in Yeridea 155. He says, with Mishtane HaTeva, nowadays nature has changed, and we do get babies which survive. And the Shmir Shabbos Kuchasa brings down for Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that even if there is no incubator, it's possible nowadays for these 8-month-old babies to survive. And the Minchas Yitzchok writes in Chelek Dalad, Kuf Kaf Gimel, he says, nowadays medicine has achieved an expertise which we never saw before, and we should definitely break Shabbos to save any baby which is born, whatever the month of pregnancy. And the Tashbats therefore writes, he says, we do not have any suspicion of this woman, and who in fact was a very tzniustic woman, a very respectable woman, and we mustn't suspect her that she might have been mixing with another man, and that this child might be a mamzer. we will treat this child as the child of that man. And interestingly, at the end of his teshuva, he ends off and he says, I've seen many changes happening in our generations which change the nature of our teva and the way Chazal have described things. Just like Tosfos say, with the change of generations, and they say in Gemara, and he quotes this question about the cow and the donkey, where they could give birth for less than the age of three. That it's a mofes, it's an amazing thing. And therefore he says, so with other things as well, we find many things happening which do not follow the description of the Chachomim. This is an amazing thing. And this husband who comes home, if he recognizes that this must be his baby, there's no reason for him to suggest otherwise. And there should be no suspicion whatsoever, but we do not use the scientific theories of Chazal necessarily to incriminate somebody nowadays or to break Shabbos, as we've discussed. So we've discussed already two approaches. One approach is that Chazal received things by tradition. The other one is that they had things from non-Jewish sources. And in fact, there is a bit of a machlokas rishonim about this, because whilst the Rambam and his son were quoting these non-Jewish sources, there are other rishonim who will say, we will accept what Chazal said, because what they said was divinely inspired, and we don't necessarily understand the meaning of what they said. They might have been speaking metaphorically, especially in the case of Agadotah, where there were metaphysical meanings. And apart from this idea of nishtane hateva, we will accept what they said. Rav Hirsch writes on this subject, and he says we don't accept scientists to have been knowledgeable at everything, and we must accept that the rabbis did glean things from scientists, and he quotes sources from that. And Rav Dessler writes in the fourth Chelek, although everything was edited after he had died, but the fourth Chelek of Michtov Melio, page 355, he says that when Chazal said these things like the lice and the mouse, he said what they said was correct halacha. That was the din. But the reasons which were given were not necessarily the reasons. There were other reasons. So you can get the situation where the Mashiach comes and we ask Mashiach about this din about the mouse or about the lice, and the Mashiach will say, yes, that is the din, because you can't see the eggs with the human eye. That is the approach of Rav Dessler, that the din comes before the scientists or before even Chazal, because Hashtako Baraiso Bara Alma, when Hashem created the world, he looked in the Torah to see how he should create it. And the problem nowadays is that the Reform and others come along and try and say, oh, since science nowadays says something else, don't do it. So the Reform came along and said, don't do metzitsa in a bris mila, don't do the sucking. It's not nice. They called it wrong or barbaric. So I'll discuss this in Shabbos, in the Perek Yotes, the Stei Chemed, the Maram Shikin, Archaim, Kufnun Beis. So Rav Mordechai Halperin writes about this in a journal called Sinai, in volume 123, page 161, and he talks about a certain condition of babies who are suffering from an illness called hypospadias. I think I've pronounced it right. And he says that there could be a wound at the lip which causes a localized contraction of blood vessels, resulting in insufficient blood supply. And when suction takes place by the metzitza, that increases the blood flow to that part of the limb which then heals or helps to heal this wound at the lip. That is the beauty of metzitza, he says. So we mustn't ever scoff at what the rabbis say, even if for one generation or another it looks as though it's not the right thing. So let's have a look at the chinuch on the last page of your handout. The Sefer HaChinuch writes in Parshas Shoftim, and just over halfway down the page, where you see the number 20, He's quoting Chazal. Actually, we'll go a bit further up, like line 17. V'chol dor v'dor, in every generation, gam kein shenishma l'chachomim hamnitzoim shekibru divrayim. The rabbis, they heard things and they looked at things and they accepted words. V'shosu mayim misifrayim, and they drank the water from other books. V'yigu, and they toiled on it. Kami yagias b'yomim v'alayla l'chovin omek malema filios de'oseyem, to understand all other disciplines. That way we will reach the truth, be a dias haTorah, in understanding the Torah. If we are tempted and seduced by thoughts, we will not succeed if we just follow every single theory which comes out. Regarding the mitzvah that you have to listen to Chazal, Omru Zichronom Nivracha, what does this mean? They said, Lo Sasumi Meni Yomin Usmal, you may not turn to the right or to the left. Lo Sasumi Nadova Ashia Agidu Lucha Yomin Usmal. So Rashi there says, Afidu Yomru Lucha Yomin Shu Smal, even if they say to you that right is left and left is right, Lo Sasumi Mitzvasam, you may not turn away from the mitzvahs. Kloman, as if to say, Shafidu yiyu heim toim b'dobar echod min advarim. Even if they make some claim which might sound odd, ein ro lanu lachlok aleihem. It's not for us to argue with what Chazal said. Avonase k'ta'usom. We should go according to their mistake. B'tom nispol to'os echod. It's better to go along with one mistake. V'yu akol v'surim tachas da'atom atov tomid, to follow in one path. V'lo shi'asa kol echa echot v'fi da'ato. He said, if you have this danger that everybody starts with their own theories and say, well, I've got a scientific theory which says this, and I've got another one which says that, and the one models the halacha accordingly, what will happen? Shebezei yechuban hadas. You're going to do away with Yiddishkeit completely. V'chiluk lev ha'om v'hefseru umalagamrei. The Jewish people will disappear. Nein yonim eileh, because of this, Nimsir kavonas haTorah el Chochmei Yisrael. The Torah is given for Chochmei Yisrael to determine, to interpret. What's our approach to take? So the Aruch HaShulchan in another place, in Hilchish Ishus, in Simin Yud Gimel, actually writes at the end of that perek, he says, what we have to remember is, Kalal Gadol, there is a very important principle. Apart from their great holiness, the chokhmosom, and their wisdom, the taras Hashem, they were even more great in when it came to their knowledge of the sciences, of yediyah saolam, and on matters of the world. So anybody who has doubt, mamafakvek al divrehem, anyone who has doubt on the words of Chazal, Meyed al Atzmo, he is testifying upon himself, She'enu Mamin b'Torah Shebal Peh, that he doesn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh, Im Ki Yivosh M'Lahagid Zeh B'Pelem Aleh. If he's embarrassed to say he doesn't accept Torah Shebal Peh, if he disagrees with the words of Chazal, then he's an Abikoros. Those are the words of the Aruch HaShulchan. And if for any reason you feel inclined to that second approach, we say that, well, they were quoting from the scientists of the day and determined halacha accordingly, let's remember what Rav Dessler said, that the din was there first. It's the reasoning might have been changing, but the din was always there. And so when we say that when Chazal tell you that right is left and left is right, but if they're saying that right is left and left is right, you have to listen to them. With your emunah shalema, you will accept what they say, because if it doesn't seem understandable to you now, it will be understandable in the future, or it will be understandable b'mei Moshiach. But for the moment, we have to have that humility and accept that everything Chazal said was the words of Hashem. Thank you very much.